The important kavanas a person is supposed to have, what the shofar is supposed to mean to them. The Rambam tells us that even though the shofar is exerce a kasev, that's not to the exclusion of certain ramazim that may inspire one to appreciate a deeper level of meaning in terms of their inspiration for motivating tshuva at this critical point during the year. And yesterday, the perspective we gave from the shla was much more from the perspective of shmiah, that when a person hears the varied sounds of the shofar, the tekiah, the long, straight blast, and that's in contrast with the shvarim and the trua, the shattered pieces of the, as Reb Nevinzal added, the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Yasher, the pasuk in Kohelet says. Hashem created man as Yasher, as straight, represented by the tekiah, when his neshama comes down to this world. Unfortunately, sometimes that neshama gets shattered. The semblance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's image in the Selam Elokim, represented by the neshama, when it enters this world, is broken down into little pieces almost until the point where it's unrecognizable. But even if a person sees themselves in that light, ultimately the tzikiyah comes back as strong as it was before, as even and as wholesome as it was originally. And that's what a person is supposed to be thinking when they're listening to the shofar, because those sounds are supposed to create an image, paint a picture for him in terms of what he's supposed to be aiming for, and to never give up, and to understand that however many pieces he may be in right now, it doesn't mean that he can't come back to that one wholesome unit of the tekiah. Now, I thought it was very interesting because that reflects one aspect of the shofar. If you look in the Rishonim and the Gaonim, we find two different perspectives as to how to view the mitzvah shofar. Now, the easiest and perhaps more familiar way to go is the aspect of shmiah, because after all, we say the bracha of shomea kol shofar. In other words, on a lamdasha plane, how do we view the mitzvah shofar? When the Baal Tokei is blowing the shofar for you, so there's two ways to understand what's going on. Possibly, number one could be that, like when I make kiddush, right? What happens when I make kiddush? If I motzi someone else around the table. So you could look at it in two ways as well. When I'm listening to a person make kiddush, so how is it that I'm yotze? So we know there's a concept of shomei ka'ona. Okay, so shomei ka'ona literally translates as one who hears is as if they, answered, as if they were made the very same declaration, right? We said ona is not always translated, at least in rabbinic Hebrew and biblical Hebrew, as responding to a question, because kiddush, right, shomei ka'ona, no one asks you anything that you're answering to, right? Va'anisa v'amarta means I proclaim something, I declare something. So shomei ka'ona, so what does it mean? It means I'm yotze, possibly number one, because I really have to recite the same words of kiddush as the Baal HaBayis does. When I listen to him, his words, his proclamation, his declaration, his recital of the kiddush is sort of cut and paste as if I said it myself, okay? Or possibly number two is that when I listen to someone else making kiddush, by what mode of performance or what mode of action am I yotze? Through shmiah. Understand? Meaning I could be yotze either because the words that he said, it's as if I said them too. The mitzvah is be'etzem to say the words, which that would be our knee-jerk reaction, using shomei ka'ona and zochus yom shabbos akacho, zachreo al yayin, the Shabbos has to be sanctified, remembered, mentioned, al hakos, by all of us, but it happens to be that one person is discharging that obligation, and we who are listening, it's as if we said those same words. Or the other way to look at it is, no, the din of shomei ka'ona means that when I hear someone saying something, I'm yotze, by virtue of the fact that I heard it said. You understand the two different possibilities? It's even more relevant when it comes to shofar. Okay, when it comes to shofar, so what is the method through which I am yotze the mitzvah shofar? I didn't blow the shofar on my own, right? So Joseph is the Baal Tokei in shul. So when I'm yotze, is it because of shomei ka'ona? Because really I'm supposed to be blowing the shofar also, but I don't know how to blow the shofar. I don't own a shofar. Or it's too difficult for me to blow the shofar. So when he blows it, it's as if I blew it too. Or what's the other possibility? When he blows it, the fact that I heard it is also yotze the same mitzvah. Yechav? So when you look at the Lashonos of the Rishonim, you get two different impressions. The Smag, for example, and the Shiltus, takes a similar approach. Mitzvah sasei litkoa b'shofar b'rosh Hashanah, shenemer yom trua yelachem. Torah says yom trua yelachem. So he classifies the mitzvah as mitzvah sasei litkoa b'shofar. So Maxwell has a mitzvah to blow the shofar. Just so happens that Barak is the one who's blowing it for him, so it's as if you blew it also. It's as if you recited Kiddush when he makes Kiddush. Okay, similarly, the Shulta says, "De mechayovin de beis Yisrael lemitka." Listen to this, Rabbi Say. The Shulta says, Bnei Yisrael, all Jews, are chayv to blow the shofar, and you know what he says the bracha on shofar is? Baruch atah Hashem Malkeinu Melech Haolam, Hashem Kedoshanu Ben Tzav V'Sivanu, Litkoa B'Shofar. Did you ever say that bracha, Yechiel?
No.
Did you ever hear someone say that bracha?
Yeah.
No, you didn't? Never. You never did.
I just heard something.
If you open up your machzer, Yechiel, doesn't matter what country you find yourself in, there's Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Even a Yekish machzer. If you open it up, it's going to say Baruch Atah Hashem Malkeinu Melech Haolam, Hashem Kedoshanu Ben Tzav V'Sivanu, Lishmoa kol shofar. Okay? Not litkoa b'shofar. Whereas the Rambam, that's the Shiltos. Okay? That's Rav Achoy Gon.
Each person has to do
the way he formulates the bracha, with tekiya being the focal point, indicate that fundamentally every person in shul has to be blowing the shofar. When you blow the shofar for them, it's as if they blew it also. Whereas, if you look in the Rambam, in the mitzvos, in the minyan mitzvos, when he counts the mitzvos, he says, there's one mitzvah, lishmoa kol shofar be'echad b'tishrei, to hear the shofar on the first day of Tishrei. Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, he says, mitzvah seishal Torah, lishmoa chuas ha-shofar, shenemar yom shul yalachem. Okay? And more and more indications within the Rambam that point to the fact that the mitzvah is the shmia. Okay? So we have this dual perspective, one way emphasized by the Gaon, one way emphasized by the Rambam, the Shmiah and the Tekiah, and could be even within the Rambam, even if the mitzvah is the shofar, there still is more to focus on within the Tekiah itself. What do I mean, Yassel? Let's say we adopt this position, that indeed the mitzvah is l'shmo kol shofar, and therefore when Yechiel blows the shofar and I listen, the reason I'm Yotze is not because it's as if I blew it also, it's because the mitzvah is to hear it. And I'm Yotze when I heard it, right? Everyone follow me so far on that lumnus? Okay. Chia, you have a younger brother, right?
No.
No? Younger sister?
No.
No? Okay. We'll try again. Barak, you have someone under bar mitzvah in your household?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say that individual blew the shofar for you. Okay? So are you Yotze? So on the one hand, you'll tell me, well, what do you mean? I heard the sound of the shofar, right? As long as the mitzvah is the shmiah, then the way that sound is produced should be irrelevant because the mitzvah is how I hear it. I understand if you held the mitzvah was tekiah. Yeah, Joseph, if the mitzvah was tekiah, so the tekiah has to be produced by a someone who's mechuyev in the mitzvah. Just like when you want someone to make kiddush for you, the person making kiddush has to be a bar mitzvah because then his performance of the mitzvah is, like we said before, it's cut and paste onto me also. But if we say that the mitzvah is the shmiah of the shofar, then maybe I could just, I don't know, press a button and the shofar blows on its own, and I'm Yotze also, because the main thing is the Shmia. Not so fast. Even the Rambam, who says that the focal point is the Shmia, also holds that the Shmia has to be produced by a tekiah of a bar mitzvah. Okay? So even if you hold the mitzvah is the Shmia sa shofar, we're not ignoring the tekiah either. So I want to now take that into the Hashkafic realm and try to develop a different perspective. The Shlaz notion of viewing, or we'll say processing, the sounds of the shofar from the shmiah aspect of, let me think, I we're representing what Adam is, how the Adam changes and is broken down through chait and can reinvigorate himself, bring himself back to that even and wholesome sound of the tekiah. That's as far as hearing and being inspired, like the Rambam says, it's a wake-up call. But beyond the wake-up call of the Rambam, there's also an aspect of the tekiah that's more focused on the sound I'm producing in the shofar too. What do I mean by that? So there's a phrase which is quoted by the Tanya. You highlight it over here. He quotes it from the Zohar, but others point out that it's not actually in the Zohar, but a similar line is found in the Sefer HaKana. Sefer HaKana is also a Kabbalistic Sefer, but it's not the Zohar. And it's quoted in different ways, but it's a commentary on the pasuk Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim says in Parshas Bereishis, when man is created, Vayipach ba'apav, Hashem blew into his nostrils a nishmas chaim, a living soul. And we always talk about the soul, a person's neshama being a chelak elokam imal. It's really a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where do you see that in the pasuk? Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim just says that he blew this soul into man. So the Tanya, quoting the Sefer HaKana, writes, Misha nofech mishalo hu nofech. Misha nofech hu mishalo hu nofech. Man di nofech midilei nofech. In Aramaic, the one who blows of himself. right? You can blow in two different ways. You ever see what are those called? Those dandelions that you pick in the, you know, if you're playing right field in Little League and you have nothing else to do, you know, you blow and like all the little pieces fall. You know, what's that called? It's not a dandelion. What's that called? That's dandelion. Okay, so you can have something and you can blow and have it disperse, even though the particular flower that you're expiring towards is not part of you. You're just acting upon that flower. But when you blow, what are you doing? The air is coming out of your lungs, and it reaches wherever you direct it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pasuk says, blew, as it were, whatever that means, Nishmas Chaim, a living soul, into Adam HaRishon, then by definition, the way when you blow, you are exhaling from internal sources, and that enters Adam HaRishon, in this case, on the other end. So when a person exhales, they're taking a part of themselves and sharing it outside. When a person blows the shofar, it's more than just a production of the sound. Following that same line of depiction of the neshama, when you blow, you're blowing from inside yourself. In other words, the sound that's produced by the shofar is not merely a sound that I'm supposed to process and listen to, the shmiah of the shofar like we described, the remez, the wake-up call that the Rambam talks about, but it's also an expression, it's also me blowing the shofar and saying something about myself. It's expressing something from deep inside my own emotions and my own feelings. Let me try to illustrate. We have a unit that we call Tashat or Tashrat, Tarat. You'll see those abbreviations in the Masor all the time. Tarat is Tekiah, Truah Tekiah. Tashrat is Tekiah, Shvarim, Truah Tekiah. And Tashat is Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah. What's the common denominator? However you're blowing the shofar, you always have that unit of three. The Tekiah and the Shvarim or the Truah, however it's blown in that particular set, they always stay together. And it's kind of funny because, okay, maybe we have a varied kol that's produced, but in the end of the day, it's strange that we're always so makbid to ensure that those remain as part of one continuum. You can't have a tekiah without a truah, you can't have a truah without a tekiah. Ad kidei kach, that let's say you blow tekiah, and then you blow a truah, and then the Baal Tekiah realizes that there was some mistake and the truah was invalid. What's the halacha?
You have to go back.
Right? You have to start from the beginning and do the tekiah all over again, which precedes the true afterwards. You guys have a different?
Yeah.
What do you have?
It's first they're each done singularly. Not singularly, like true.
Why is it that we have to have this balance and this consistency where the different types of sounds are all in that pattern and always together? So where do we find a better description or a more elaborate understanding of the sounds of the shofar? It's not in the Parsha of Shofar altogether, right? We spoke about Parshas Amor, Parshas Pinchas, where the Yom Tovim are outlined many times. It doesn't say how to blow the shofar. It says Yom Truah Yelachem. Interesting, it doesn't say anything about tekiahs, right? We blow a lot more tekiahs than we do truahs, twice as many, right? One for each, for every truah, there's two tekiahs. But we call it a Yom Truah. So we have to look elsewhere to learn more about the different sounds of the shofar. So interestingly, the place that we can examine is in Parshas Baal Oscha. Let me try to get you Marma comes over here. Parshas Baal Oscha is the tzivoy, the commandment that Moshe Rabbeinu receives, actually not about shofar at all. But what other musical instrument do we find in the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to make?
Dobre.
What's that?
Dobre.
No. Chatzotzros. Parshas Baal Oscha, Moshe Rabbeinu is instructed to make chatzotzros. Now, chatzotzros, even though most of us have never seen or heard chatzotzros, okay, you might have, they're trumpets. If you go to the Machon HaMikdash, you'll see where they've recreated the chatzotzros. But they do appear in the Mishnah, and they appear in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, specifically Lagabe Yantav Rosh Hashanah and the Mitzvah of Shofar. Namely, if you look at the Mishnah on Chavav Amud Beis, it says, Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah, Shal Yael Pashat, Upid Mitzvah Bezov, Ushtei Chatzotzros Min Hatzdadim. On Rosh Hashanah, in the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to the regular shofar, an animal horn that we're used to seeing in shul, on the two sides of the Baal Tokea, there were two chatzotzos that were blown simultaneously. The Mishnah says that the shofar is mairich, the chatzotzos makatzos, meaning whatever sound is supposed to be made, the tzkiah, the true tzkiah, whatever it is, the shofar goes longer, and the chatzotzos end earlier with that same note, so that the shofar is what's emphasized, and that's what you hear. Other days of the year, let's say when there's a fast day, another opportunity for blowing chatzotzos, the opposite is true. First, the shofar will end the note first, and the chatzotzos will continue, because the emphasis is on the chatzotzos, not on the shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, the emphasis is on the shofar. Why don't we do chatzotzos? Why do we only blow shofar? So Chazal bring a Gemara that says, very simply, that you're familiar with it. We say it in Kabbal Shabbos. It's from Tehillim. Bechatzotzos uvekol shofar, has it end? Hariyu lefnei hamelech Hashem. With shofar and chatzotzos together, you blow, hariyu is lashon trua, you blow lefnei Hashem. When you're lefnei Hashem, when you're on the harbayis and Beis HaMikdash, so then there's a mitzvah to not only blow the shofar, but chatzotzos as well. Okay? But when you're back home in shul, the mitzvah is only the shofar. Exactly. What's that?
It's like so sad that lefnei Hashem is missing from
We're supposed to, Yashikayev Maxwell, whenever possible, you know, we're always, when Tisha B'Av comes along, we're always wondering, you know, like, what am I supposed to be sad about? What are we missing? So if you can picture the majesty and the drama and the excitement of the Avoda of any Yantif, but Rosh Hashanah and the Chatzotzos and how unique things were in the Beis HaMikdash and realize that, you know, we're pale in comparison, so then you can begin to have a sense of what it means. We wish we had the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so Parshas Baloscha. We get our first impression. Take a look at this. Rabbosai highlighted over here in Pasuk Ches. Bnei Aaron Hakohanim Yisku Ubechatzotzos V'Hayu Lachem V'Chukas Olam Dor Sechem. The individuals entrusted with blowing the shofar in the Beis Hamikdash, wherever it happens to be, are the Kohanim Bnei Aaron. Yitku Ubechatzotzos. Pasuk Tes. Now Chisavol Melchama Bartzachem. When there's a Melcham in your land, Al Hatzar Hatzorer Eschem, and there's another country, an enemy that's oppressing you, that's pursuing you. Vari osim b'chatzotros, v'niskartem lefnei Hashem alkechem, v'noshatem oyveichem. When you have that danger, so what happens? Vari osim b'chatzotros. What does vari osim b'chatzotros mean? You shall blow hari osim from a lashon of hari osim. Trua. Same shofar. Same shofar sound. Okay, stick with me. This is important. Vari osem b'chatzotzos, you'll blow in the trumpet. V'niskartem lefnei Hashem okechem, you'll be remembered before Hashem. V'noshatem yoyvechem, you'll be saved from your enemies.
How's hari osem the same word as trua?
Hari osem, the shoresh, hari osem, and trua, reish ayin, hey, perhaps. Oh. Okay, those are the same. Exactly. What does that mean? Right, to make it trua. Okay, make a lot of noise. Yeah. Okay. So, hari osem chatzotzos, if there's danger, if there's a threat of attack, what do? You blow a shofar, but specifically you blow a trua. Contrast with the next pasuk, ubiyom simchaschem uvmoadechem, rosh chodeshechem, on your happy days, on your yontivs, on your rosh chodesh, utekatem b'chatzotzos al olaseichem v'alziv chishamechem. Then what are you going to do? You take the chatzotzos, what are you going to blow? Tekia. Okay? Alziv chishamechem v'ayu lachem zikon lefnei Hashem alkechem ani Hashem alkechem. And that will also bring about a remembrance before Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we have? Looking at this as the paradigm for what the different sounds of the shofar represent, trua is not a happy time. Trua is a call of distress. Trua is representative of not good things. Okay. Whereas tekiah is what's representative of simcha. Tekiah is a yantiv. Tekiah is something happy. Tekiah is a celebration. So we have the tekiah and the trua, like we said before, paired up with each other throughout Rosh Hashanah. They never appear without each other, and at the same time, they have such opposite, we'll say, emotional symbolisms, right? It's mamish mikatzah l'katzah. It's from one end of the spectrum to the other. So why is it so important that they stick together? The Chassam Sofer says something unbelievably inspiring and very, very true and very, very deep when you think about it. And this is where the representation of the sounds of the shofar, again, unlike the shlah, in terms of what I hear and what it inspires within me, it's much more about what I am expressing. The tekiah, the blowing these notes. So in order to understand the Chassam Sofer, we just need to take 1 minute to look at Psukim in Nechemya. Okay? Put yourself in the shoes of the people described in Nehemiah. This is Shivas Tzion. Okay? People are coming back from Golos Bavel. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 70 years ago, and now they're finally, little by little, trying to put things back together. And the state of the Jewish people overall, besides the temple, was not good. Intermarriage was rampant. Mamish rampant. And when Ezra comes back, together with the Sanhedrin, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, they made a declaration that because it was so widespread, they said, you have 3 days to divorce your non-Jewish wives, come to Yerushalayim, and if not, they put everything that that a person owned in Cherem, which could be understood in different ways. Either they totally destroyed it, or they confiscated it, but this was something which there had to be some sort of penalty, because to get people just to wake up and say, hello, the Jews are back, let's do this. You know, and to leave the state of assimilation that had begun to set in over the time since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Okay, so in one of the first gatherings of this chevra, you know, you're just sort of picturing there were a lot of pictures going around recently on September 11th. You know, that flag that disappeared, that was returned to the museum after 15 years. You know, like at ground zero, yeah, the three firefighters putting up this flag. You know, sort of like total destruction, and now you lay the first step, the first brick to rebuilding. You know, just okay, we felt that that churban, but you know we're still here. So this is the first gathering of the exiles coming back to Eretz Yisrael to say we've arrived, Baruch Hashem, and we're going to start putting things back together. So the entire nation, the people who had returned, come together as interesting, ki ishachad, the same achdus, the same unity as Kabbalah Satorah, and they say to Ezra, please take out the Sefer Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayavi Ezra Kohen Satorah of Ne'akal Me'ishra Isha B'chol Me'ivin L'shma V'yom Achad L'chodesh Hashvi. So he comes with the Sefer Torah, Ezra, before all the people who were capable of listening and understanding, B'yom Echad L'chodesh Hashvi. What is that on the calendar? Yom Echad L'chodesh Hashvi, we're both saying. Right? So Yom Echad means? Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So this is the first Rosh Hashanah returning to Eretz Yisrael. V'yikr bo l'fnei Rechov, Asher l'fnei Sharamayim min ha'or, ad machzitz hayom, neged ha'nashim ha'nashim ha'mevinim, oznei kol ha'am el sefer Torah. The people are listening, captivated from or, meaning from daybreak until machzitz hayom, until chatos. Hours and hours, people are listening, captivated, to Ezra read from the Sefer Torah in this dramatic moment of the return of the people. V'yamar Ezra ha'sofer ad migda al migda al eitz, asher asu l'dover, v'yamar etzol matisio v'shem v'anoya v'uria, etc. And Ezra is standing on a special bima, a wooden bima that was erected for this purpose, and all the leaders of the people are to his right and to his left. V'yiftach Ezra ha'sefer l'enei kol ha'am, ki me'al kol ha'am haya, v'chefis kol ha'am l'kol ha'am. Ezra opens up the Torah for everyone to see, because he was on this raised platform and everyone could see him. Uchapisko, when he opens up the Torah, everyone stands up. So this is like the Hagbah of all Hagbahs. You know, and you can imagine, this is culminating hours and hours of public reading of the Torah with everyone listening carefully. Vayivarach Ezra Hashem Elokim HaGadol, Vayanu Kol Am Amen, Amen B'mol Yedeyim, Vayikdu V'yishtach V'l Hashem Apayim Arta. Ezra calls out, proclaims a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everyone answers Amen, and they bow down, with their face to the ground. And this, I think, the Bir Halacha quotes, is the basis for why we bow when we say Baruch Hu. Skip a little bit. Vayikru b'sefer Torah Salkim Meforesh v'sum Seichel v'yadiru b'mikra. Vayomer Nehemia hu hatzushas v'ezra kohen asofer v'alavim ha'mevinim asa'am v'chol ha'am hayom kodesh hu l'Hashem Elokeichem al tis'ablu v'al tivku ki vochem kol ha'am kishamam es divrei Torah. At the end of this dramatic reading, the people are mamish in tears. Everyone's bawling. You can imagine the emotions running high. This was the Rosh Hashanah that represented the rebuilding of the Jewish people and a return to Torah like never before. And they're all in tears. So Nehemiah and all the leaders of the people, the Kohanim, Levim, say, no, today is a day that's holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today's Rosh Hashanah. You may not cry. Vayomer lahem, he said to them, Lechu, ichlu, mashmanim, ushsumam takim, go home. eat delicious foods and delicacies, drink wine, be happy. Send food to those who don't have. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu. V'altei atzvu, don't be sad. Ki cheder vas Hashem hima uzchem. Because the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your strength. The simcha of Hashem is your strength. And he was able to, together with the other leaders, reinvigorate them and rekindle their simcha on the day of Rosh Hashanah. As the pasuk concludes, "Vayelch kolam lechol lishos l'shalayach manos l'asos simcha gedola kevinu b'dvarim sheradilohem," because they were able to understand and process what he had told them, that today was supposed to be a day of celebration and not simply a day of sadness and introspection, but also a positive and happy day. That's how it ends in Nechemiah. So the emotions are running high, as we said, and the Chasam Sofer explains as follows. Take a look back at the Maram Komos, a little bit bigger. Gila brother, Ksiv be'ezra al te'atzvu ki cher v'sashem me'uzcham. So the Chasam Sofer quotes in Drushos this pasuk that we just read, where we're being told not to be sad. Ki'aidei she'samchu b'tchila b'kdushas v'kriyas ha'torah she'shamu me'ezra. Unbelievable. What does the Chasam Sofer say? Where all these tears come from? Were they tears of joy? Were they tears of sadness? It sounds like they were tears of sadness, right? What's going on? Why is there this back and forth of emotional responses? Explain the Chasam Sofer that he was saying, Ezra was saying to them, there was tremendous hisorus and simcha and positive feeling through the experience and the holiness of that Kriyas HaTorah, which is different than any other Kriyas HaTorah they had ever experienced. And the inspiration that they derived from the Simcha of that Kriyas HaTorah was so powerful that it sent them in the opposite direction. It made them suddenly realize, wait a second, Eich Rachuk HaShem, how far have we come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Sometimes the ultimate experience of closeness to Hashem also makes you say, like, you know, where have I been? Yeah, a person can be at a Musar Shmuz. And they're feeling inspiration, they're feeling closeness, that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I want, this is what I want to strive for, this is what I want to reach for, this is how I want to improve myself. And at the same time, it inspires a feeling of, well, what have I been doing all this time? And that can be, it can be irksome. It can make a person feel sad, just the opposite. V'chein hu derech li'olam. Explains the Chasam Sofer, this is a natural and normal set of emotions. K'sha'adam oved Hashem b'simcha. If a person serves Hashem with simcha, shul bolo sa'urus al shnestrachik ad achshav. Why do people cry out of his sa'urus? Because that sense of simcha, of being close to Hashem, also inspires the recognition that I've been distant. The chafetz liskarev mitzdar. You want to be close, but you also feel the pain. V'omnam shuv gismach v'yoga ba'osu atzar shezoch l'kach. When two people are reunited after so long, they also cry. Right? Yosef Hatzadik, he cries on the shoulder of Yaakov Avinu. So maybe what some people would say, that he's so happy about the reuniting of father and son, but their tears also of 22 years. We missed 22 years. We could have been close for the last two decades. It's that combination. But then, you know what else happens? A person returns to simcha. Why do they return to simcha? Because when a person feels the simcha of being close to Hashem, and feels the tsar of where have I been, at the same time that also engenders another degree of simcha, that I'm happy that I feel that pain. I'm happy that it's meaningful to me, that it bothers me that I wasn't close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because there are people who walk through life, people who can spend decades of their time on this world with just no recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu altogether. No connection, no motivation, no emunah, nothing. And even if they have the emunah, they can be so overtaken by other priorities and materialism, the other things that direct us away from focus on Baruch Hashem, you say to yourself, wow, Baruch Hashem that I'm actually sensitive to my distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the person sitting next to me in shul, he may have no idea of might not even be able to explain to him what I'm feeling. So there's a simcha even mitoch hatzar. V'u'al derech mashal, cholashem eschala lo hergish b'sur v'om l'rofim, she'en lo machav klal. He says, a mashal for a sick person. You can have a person who's so sick that his nervous system doesn't function the way it's supposed to function, where he doesn't even feel the pain that he's supposed to be feeling, that it would make sense for him to feel, given the stress that his body's under, given the condition that he's suffering from. Then the severity of his sickness begins to wane, and all of a sudden he cries out in pain. The doctors say you should be happy. Because this means that you're on the way to recovery. That's what the pasuk is describing. That there was a simcha, but then they started crying. Why did they start crying? They should be happy. So the answer is because the simcha came from that pain that they experienced. And the dveikus. And then they were able to be mesameach because they felt that refuah was there. The tshuva was so in reach because they had reached the point where they could feel that pain. And here's the punchline we'll say. You see where the thing is, al derech zeh tokim tekiya b'tchila pshuta shula simchas yantav simchas mitzvah. So that's why we start with the tekiya. Because the tekiya represents the simcha, like we said before, b'yom simchaschem, mo'adechem, rosh chashechem, utekatem chatzotros. The tekiya represents simcha. V'ayidei zeh ba his'oros habechi al chatoim, then comes the sadness after you experience that happiness, which is represented by Shvarim Trua, Genuchi Ganach Viluli Yolel, like the Gemara says, Kidasiv Al Sar Hatzorer Vari Osem. When there's a threat, when there's danger, then comes the Trua. Then comes the weeping and the sobbing and the crying in response to the Simcha. The Shuv Smechem Bezeh, once again, the Simcha comes back. Vainu Pshuta Lachara. And that's why we always end off each set with another Tekiah. That even in the broken sound of the shvarim and the trua, what emerges from that is a simcha that Baruch Hashem, I feel broken. Baruch Hashem, I feel like I've fallen so low, because that means that I'm in touch. That means that I'm connected. And when you are misameach in your recognition of that distance, it means that you can now work from there. Because if a person has no cognizance of his distance, like we spoke about earlier, the guy who's stuck in jail, Rabbeinu Yonah's the jailbreak that didn't happen. If you feel like you're in jail and you're liking it there and things are the way they're supposed to be and you're comfortable, it means that you've lost the sensitivity. You've lost the nervous response to the matzav of richuk that you find yourself in. So there's this give and take, and that's what's supposed to be a person's expression. When they blow into the shofar, right? How did we start? We said that the sound of the shofar is not just what wakes me up, but it also expresses what I'm feeling inside. The tekiah, the happiness, the shvarim, the tsar, then the tekiah again from that tsar. And in a certain sense, that also is representative of the overall back and forth in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We say in Slichos, from Shlomo Ibn Gabriel, Im tevakej la'oni, evrach mimcha elecha, Veskasa mechamoscha bitzilacha. Look at that line. Evrach mimecha elecha. What does that mean? Evrach mimecha, I will run away from you, elecha, to you. Eskasa mechamoscha. Eskasa means I will cover, I will shade myself, mechamoscha, from your heat, from your anger, from your fury, bitzilacha, in your shade. What's going on? Sounds like There's this fury that I'm trying to escape, and how do I escape it? By shading myself under Kodesh Baruch Hu's wings. I'm running away, I'm escaping from Kodesh Baruch Hu, Elecha, to him. So I think it's that same dynamic where Rosh Hashanah, on the one hand, we're experiencing the tsar of being so far away, it's as if we're running from Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we know that where we want to end up in that bericha, in that escape, is just closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know where we've been, and the recognition of where we've been, getting back to how we started yesterday, right? Kasher nasos al amazev mitzrayim v'adheinu. Recognizing our chesronos, the fact that we can recognize our chesronos, is also an indication that we're much further along the path than we otherwise might be if we're not in touch. And just to close, Rabbi, with one more piece. First of all, this gives us a pshat in what we asked yesterday. What's this pasuk? Ashrei ha'am yodei asrua, Hashem bo'or panachi aleichon. Ashrei ha'am yodei asrua. We say this right before we build the shofar. Praiseworthy is the people Yodei Serua, who know the Trua. What does it mean, know the Trua? What about they don't know Tekiyas? So we said on one level, what we're trying to do here is understand what the Trua is all about. Understand what the sound of the Shofar is all about. I think it's deeper than that, Rabbosai. What does it mean, Ladas? That's Shorish. Yud Dalet Ayin, Yodei. What does it mean in Tanakh? Besides just knowing. What does it mean, beyond knowing? What does that Shorish also tell us? Pasuk in Bereishis, Rabbosai. Vayeda Adam Eschave Ishto. What does it mean? It means closeness. It means that he once again knew his wife, meaning that they had relations. They were once again together. Right? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally describe the relationship between Adam and Chava? Vedavek beishto. Vedavek beishto. He becomes one. He becomes unified with his wife. Vayeda ladas, to know, in the biblical sense here, means to reunite. They were apart for a very long time before they had their third child. Here they're reunited. Ashreya am yodei srua. Perhaps what it means is ladas, to know the trua, no, to reunite the trua. To take those broken sounds, the tears, the tsar, that represents the shattered tekiah, and bring it back in the tekiah that follows, reunited. Yodei srua means knowing how to take a lot of different parts and make them whole again. That's what we're saying. Because if a person, like we discussed yesterday also, if a person stops at that broken stage without trying to bring it all together, then they never got where they were supposed to get to. If a person takes the tsar of feeling so rachuk and is mesamech in that, that's Yodei Srua. And it culminates on Sukkis, where, very interesting, by all the Yom Tovim, we always have Zecher L'maisa Bereishis, or Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're remembering leaving Mitzrayim. What do we say by Sukkis? L'man yedu dorasechem ki b'sukkos hashavti es b'nei Yisrael. In order that the future generation should know. What do you mean know? So they should remember, right? Zechir sitzis Mitzrayim. Why suddenly the shift to Yodea? So perhaps the pshat is, I heard from a friend of mine, I think based on the Chiddush HaRim, that's ladas. When Sukkis comes, what's the yom of Sukkis? Sukkis is being mitzarev, taking all the different pieces of the Yom Noraim that we're supposed to be inspired by, we're supposed to come away with from Hashanah Yom Kippur, putting it together with a new type of heightened recognition of Amunah sitting in the Sukkah. So that's how the term Yodei Srua, the Lashon of ladas, has new meaning over here. So last point, Rabbosai. Briskrov shares an insight which defines what Rosh Hashanah is all about, and with this, we'll close. B'tur hevi agamara, dein omrim hal Rosh Hashanah, mishum de sifre chayim, sifre mesim, neftachim lefanai, v'atim omrim hal. Gemara says, and Tur quotes this, why is it that all the other Yom Tovim, we say Hallel, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we don't? So we spoke earlier in the year about why you don't say Hallel on Purim. Purim has its own reasons why I don't say Hallel. But in general, Yom Tovim do have Hallel. So why is Rosh Hashanah different? So the Gemara says very simply, Sifra Chaim, Sifra Mesim Niftachim. The book of life, book of not life, the open before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the time to be singing and dancing. It's a much more solemn occasion, even though there's an aspect of Simcha, but Hallel is inappropriate, the Gemara says. Maybe the Alana Medrash, any Yisrael Kumas Olam Shalov Shem Shchorim, Avol Yisrael Lov Shem Levanim, Ba'ochlam V'shosim V'chulei. On the other hand, a little bit further on in the Torah says that we have a minhag to dress up in our Shabbos clothing on Rosh Hashanah, right? In a more classic sense, people used to wear white because it was much more common, you know, on a festive occasion, on Yom Tov, to wear white. Okay, you don't see that as much nowadays, but as opposed to the way the Medrash is contrasting, Goyim, if a guy is on the way to a judgment in front of a Melech Bas V'dam, so how do they dress them up? What color? Dress them in black, right? And we come, we dress in white. Why? Why do we eat? We celebrate, and we have a whole big suda. Betuchim she'aslam neis, because we have this confidence of Hashem Baruch Hu is going to brachim on us and give us a good judgment if we do our part. We do tshuva when we enter Rosh Hashanah. So he says tzarach bir. Acher deinom rahal Rosh Hashanah mishum da'anes deinom yimei simcha. How could the Torah take both of these two Ma'amar Chazal and stick them in the same paragraph? On the one hand, you're saying it's a day of happiness and celebration because we're so sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the best possible judgment. And the other hand, you're saying, Hallel, come on, you can't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is such a serious day. It's not a day of celebration, it's a solemn day. So how do we reconcile these two? Explains the Brisk Rav. Nir b'zeh l'fi ma shekosav ha-Rambam b'pirsha Mishnayis. Rosh Hashanah Perek Dalad Mishnah Vav. The Rambam says in Perek Dalad Mishnah Vav of Rosh Hashanah, Zelashono. Lefish lo ayukarm hal Rosh Hashanah Vav Mekipurim. No halah on Rosh Hashanah. No halah on Yom Kippur. Lefish einam yimei hachna upachad. These are days of hachna upachad. What's hachna? Of humbling oneself. Pachad is fear. Umivrach umonos elov. Mivrach means what? What does mivrach mean? Same shorosh as before. To run away, to escape. Borech means to run away. Umanos, what does manos mean? To escape, same idea. Elov, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're running away and escaping to Hashem. Mevur kan shayamim ha'elu, hem yimei pachad mora, v'amoru hu gadol ay kedei bricha, the fear that is engendered within us on this day is so great that we just want to run away. Shemach mas godla amora tzarech levrach. The fear is so great we just have to escape. Vein makom levrach im lamanos elav. But at the same time, a recognition that there's no other place to run other than to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Yonah. What happens to Yonah? He tries to run away, and Hashem says to him, you can't run away. So instead of trying to run away, realize that you should be running away to me. That the escape from the threat and the fear of judgment is adarava, tshuva, to come back to Hashem. V'chein b'payek kosav, erach mimeka elecha. V'chein b'tehillim, yom ira ani elecha evtach. Ubira adorim, what does this all mean? Nira, explains the Brisker Rav, dihine be'eish sha'adam nimtza b'tzara. At a time when a person is in tzara, tzara she'elo b'tachan she'ezri Hashem. Whether he's afraid of a physical threat, a spiritual threat, a financial threat, whatever it is. He has to have b'tachan that Hashem is going to help him. If he doesn't recognize what the tzara is, he's not going to be afraid. You can't say the guy's bitachon if he doesn't feel that he's in a threatening situation. You can't say that a person, I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't feel that there's something you need to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you escape from. If you feel like, I'm safe, whatever happens, I'll be okay. You can't call that bitachon Hashem. Because there's nothing to feel a reliance and dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, because as far as you're concerned, things look good. If a person is totally unaware that there's an impending danger, a person's at home at night, and there's someone who's ransacking their house downstairs, and they're upstairs in the bedroom, and they sleep through the whole thing, that guy may have a gun. You can't say the guy has bitachon Hashem, he's going to save him from the robber. He doesn't know there's a robber in the house. Unbelievable. Listen to this. The extent by which you can measure a person's bitachon is the extent to which he is afraid. To the degree which he recognizes what it is he has to be afraid about, that is where you can place the tape measure to evaluate the level of his bitachon. That's what the Rambam says. Shayamim ha'elu hem yimei pachad u'mora. U'pachto kol kach ad she'ein lo shum efsharas u'margi shum mukach levroach. When a person has a sense of fear of these days, so fearful is he of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that he feels he has to run away. V'ach she'gil ha'kar matzavo, but then when he gets to that point, ad kide kach yuchal ezakos minis ha'bitachon, so only if he has that sense of fear is his bitachon on Hashem in the full sense of the word. Right? You can't have bitachon to get out of a dangerous situation if you don't appreciate the danger. If he feels the danger of the me'adin, the fear of the me'adin, then memela, his response of bitachon, relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu, is legitimate. That's the running back to Hashem. So that's what the Torah means. Last line in the Brisker Rav, b'zeh mevor divrei HaTorah de'nachanami. Ikar hayamim hem yimei pachad u'mora. Yes, Rosh Hashanah is a day of pachad u'mora. Ad asher ein makom lomer shira klal. You can't call out shira of halal now. Aval kasher rak yagil yadiyah zu, u'makir tzaras, only when you feel that tzara, osmeichem u'betulcham Hashem yisbarach shi'asa neis. So this, I think, maybe enriches one more step of the Chassam Sofer's contrast. Of the tekiah, and then the trua and the tekiah, where the trua, the feeling of being broken, of being so far away, can also inspire the pachad of the din. And the pachad of the din has to engender that returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, escaping because there's no other way to go, placing all your bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately gives you that flatline tekiah, which is the expression of the ochlem, v'shosem, usmeichem, lovshem levanim, betuchem shiasal neis. I want to give a bracha to everybody that it shouldn't just be a Rosh Hashanah where we're zocha to a positive din. It should be a Rosh Hashanah where that positive din emerges from a sense of these two contrasting but at the same time associated and integrated feelings of it's okay to feel rachuk from Hashem. We should feel rachuk from Hashem, because if we don't, then we're complacent and life is good the way it is. No, we should have that sense through the shofar of an expression of our feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not where I want to be. That's not where I want to be. I this is not where 12 months ago on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur my plans were to be. But at the same time, to take that recognition, not to throw in the towel, but say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sameach in the feeling of closeness that expresses itself in my cry from the distance, and please bring me back, because I know that that emotion is what's ultimately going to lead me there. And we shall be zocha to ksivach sima tova, and for ourselves individually, for our families, and we'll talk more a little bit later, but the tefillah should be for our physical success, our financial success, our material success, but more than anything for our religious success. Because it's a lot harder to keep that on the radar throughout the year. But if we're zocha to a positive din in that realm today, leading up to Rosh Hashanah and in these ensuing days, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep that stored up for us as we go through the next 12 months, Mirz Hashem, so that when we get to the next Rosh Hashanah, we'll be able to daven for the next Dargah, Mirz Hashem, as well.